Playwright Mary Manning was 26 when her first play, Youth's the Season, premiered at the Gate Theatre in 1931, in the days of Micheál MacLiamore and Hilton Edwards. It's a hidden gem in the Irish theatre canon, a tragicomic satire about the world she grew up in, bohemian, middle-class, Protestant Dublin. Youth's the Season circles around the Millington family, in particular siblings Deirdre, Desmond and Connie, and their friends, young adults, throwing witty remarks like darts at one another while worrying about who they really are, who to love and how to make real their artistic ambitions. Sarah Jane Scaife directs a new production for the Abbey Theatre nearly 100 years on, and I'm delighted that she and Molly Hanley, who plays Connie, are with me now in studio. You're both so welcome. How are rehearsals going?
Going really well. Yeah, it's a really lovely, supportive room and we're still exploring these characters and figuring it all out, but we're having a ball doing it.
Now, will we start with the playwright, Sarah Jane? Yeah. Who was Mary Manning?
Mary Manning was an incredible woman. You know, she was only 26 when she wrote this play, and yet it's so kind of well realised, and the ideas in that she's kind of looking at in it are so well realised within the characters. So she was an artist, a fine artist. She was a journalist. She was a filmmaker. So she was very interested in the second wave of the silent movies. So what else?
And
she,
all of that in Dublin?
All of that in Dublin. Like she was extraordinary. You know, the film Guest of the Nation, she wrote the screenplay for that. You know, so she was really such an all-rounder as an artist. And the people she mixed with were as well, you know, I mean, the Gate was such an exciting place at the time. You know, they were also making sort of silent movies and things. And she hung around with Beckett, who she knew from childhood. You know, she lived beside him and her mother and his mother were friends. And in fact, she has a character that, two characters really, well, that we're exploring in the play that are kind of based on Samuel Beckett.
And where in Dublin was she from and where did she hang out?
Yeah, so Fox Rock. So she would have gone to school in Moorhampton Terrace and then Alexander College. So we were trying to kind of figure this out, weren't we, Molly? Mm. You know, like who would they have hung around with? And because they were from a kind of a group that was shrinking more and more with the new kind of Ireland, you know, that Protestant group, upper middle class. So we were saying that probably tennis clubs, you know, school, maybe Sunday school.
Yeah. Yes, because there's a scene where one of the characters, is it your character, Connie? I don't know, doesn't like to drink tea in town. You know,
yes.
So it's like she'd rather go out to, is it Glendalough for the
yes.
day.
Yeah.
So there's something maybe about town that's not as friendly as we might have thought.
Exactly, exactly. And I suppose an awful lot had been going on in town over the years. You know, they had just come from a very violent kind of past, not only with the First World War, but also with 1916 and everything that had gone on in Ireland, you know.
So we're in the 1930s, really,
yeah,
when she's writing
this. Yeah, yeah.
So it's very much, there's a lot of artistic promise, but there's also coming out of this violent past. And maybe, as you say, Mary Manning as a Protestant mightn't feel so welcome in Ireland
exactly,
anymore.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, 1937 Constitution was about to come, you know, in. So she was really looking at what a woman's place was and how much freedom and, you know, what possibilities there were for young women and for men as well. You know, did you have to be a manly man or could you be the kind of man that you wanted to be? So all these questions of gender and identity are explored in the play in sometimes very funny and humorous ways,
yeah,
but also very deep and moving ways. So she was really looking at society in Ireland at the time.
So this play is nearly 100 years old, but you've wanted to do this play for about a decade, haven't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
So where did you find it and when did it twig with you? This is
okay, so
fantastic.
Ages ago, about over 10 years ago, I was saying to Kathy Leaney, who's a brilliant writer, and I was asking her, did she know any plays from that time period that were written by women? And she gave me this specific play. And when I started researching it, it was so interesting because there were about four different women writers around that time who were having plays produced on the main stage in Dublin. And then if you looked, it wasn't until Marina Carr came along in 1995 or 98 that another woman was presented on the main stage. So there was a lot of artistic activity going on at that time that kind of stopped after 1937 on into 1975 or something it was. No, even later than that, before women were on the main stage again.
So, Molly, you play Connie, one of the Millington family.
Yeah.
And tell us about you and your siblings. Where do they live? What kind of lifestyle do they have? What kind of ambitions do they have?
So Connie and her siblings, Deirdre and Desmond, live in a Georgian house. We're thinking in central Dublin. And there's a lot of references in the script to the house kind of slowly coming apart, the slow kind of crumbling of the walls, which really rings true to what you were saying earlier about what is our place in Dublin now. Yeah, with De Valera's New Ireland coming, where do we fit in? And they have a lot of time on their hands, it seems, and not enough purpose to fill it. Mm. There's a lot of lying around and being depressed and, you know, like gorgeous, witty, humorous ways to say it, but underneath there's a real kind of sinking feeling.
Yes,
yeah.
Again. And yeah. Connie's a fantastic character because yeah. Connie seems to have it all. She's obviously beautiful and she's aware of her beauty, I think, yeah. but she wants to be an intellectual because she's got her eye on a fellow intellectual.
Yeah, completely. And that's been really interesting for us to figure out, me and you, Sarah Jane, like what is propelling that need to be someone other than herself. She's constantly reimagining herself, it seems, or questioning what she could be. And that seems to be triggered by this kind of struggling writer, Terence.
Terence.
And of course, Harry, who would be the suitable one.
Yes, Harry, reliable Harry. And she's kind of torn and dancing between those two men and them representing who she could be and who she actually is.
Yes, and her brother also, Desmond, he is living in Dublin. His father wants him to work in the business, but he does not want to be in Dublin.
No, he wants to move to London and share a shop with... forget his name now.
Derek
Howard.
Yes.
And get out of Dublin and
be a designer and be involved in theatre and do all these things that they can't be in Dublin. Yeah. And they feel really stifled in Dublin and they want to move on, which is very much why I chose the play as well, is because, you know, for me in the 80s in Dublin, you felt like you were trapped. And in fact, a lot of what we were talking about because there's a lot of young people in the play, which is amazing, in the rehearsal room. And they're all speaking about this feeling of being trapped kind of and needing to kind of prove themselves and go further and go.
Today in Dublin.
As people
involved in the arts.
Exactly. That's, I mean, Molly, you're in London, aren't you?
I moved to London.
And do you think that there is that wish amongst your age group to get out of Ireland, make your name for yourself?
I suppose. I don't know what it is. I mean, a lot of us, we just can't afford to be here. And, you know, there's the constant something at the back of our heads going, we just go to Australia and be in the sun. I'm sure it's not sunny all the time there, but it feels like it in Dublin.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Do you feel, because Irish actors are doing so well both in America and in Britain, that maybe there's there are opportunities out there for Irish actors?
That's what I've experienced. In London, I don't feel like I've been typecast as an Irish person or an Irish woman. I think that it's really popular to be Irish right now, which is great for castings. And I've not had any problems going to London.
Yes. Now, getting back to the play, the love of Molly's character, Connie's, is Terence. And Terence is a writer, an
tortured
intellectual,
artist.
Tortured, a drinker. Yeah. And he's one of the Beckett models, is he?
Yes, yes. He's modelled very much on Beckett, who was a tortured artist when he was young. And you get the real feeling of them all going to college together almost, you know, and sitting in the in players or in one of the common rooms or something and moaning about life and actually enjoying how they're moaning about the life. Because he really loves language and he loves philosophizing and he loves kind of creating these sharp, cynical little asides to all the different characters. And he has this other character.
Yes,
who's
as if he wasn't enough. Then as he has another depressive, awful friend who says nothing.
Absolutely. And you know, it's almost like Mary Manning was writing Beckett's oeuvre before he even got a chance to write it himself. And she has them both on stage, you know, which is really extraordinary and is great fun. I mean, the party scene in Act Two is really great fun, isn't it?
Yes, Molly? There's lots of witty lines, isn't there? Is it your character Molly talks about? Oh, she is an intellectual. She's read Ulysses twice. Read it twice.
Absolutely.
Yes,
and she believes it.
Yeah. And there's lots of other throwaway lines and witticisms.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could kind of do tea cloths or mugs with all the aphorisms and the different sayings.
Yeah. Now, another character that I really liked was, you know, there's Desmond who wants to get out of town, but he then has an idea for his friend Gerard, who is in love with Deirdre. And this is the very uptight, slightly prim sister of Desmond. Yeah. Tell us about that couple and their
problems. Okay, so Gerald is a doctor, so he's absolutely like spot on in terms of Mrs. Millington's choices for her children. And Deirdre's really interesting as a character because she wants to be kind of like a scientist, and she's in college, she's in Trinity College studying, she's in sort of second year or something like that in Trinity, but she's really intelligent and she believes in all the new theories. She's against romanticism and lyricism and everything, and she's into realism and science, you know, and she's just very bright, but she comes across as being a little bit abrupt. So she's trying to get Gerald to think like she does, that love doesn't exist. It's just atoms meeting each other. And it's like we join then for this biological necessity, you know, and he's going, but what about love? What about love? You know, so there's this gorgeous kind of dilemma between them. And then Desmond, you know, hatches a plan that all goes horribly wrong.
Yes, because it all leads up to this soiree in his studio. And I think that's another witty line, isn't it? Yeah. That nobody writes or paints in a studio anymore. They just have parties.
Exactly. Exactly. There's so many of them. Yeah.
It does go horribly wrong, and it turns out, I mean, there are echoes of morbidness along, but I was laughing along with that on my first reading. But there is a strong kind of dark point being made.
And actually, you know, again, going back to when I read it originally, you know, it's a lot of the plays in the Irish canon, they're either set in the country like Synge and Yeats and Lady Gregory. They were all over in the west of Ireland, and there's no notion of Irishness, what it meant to be Irish. And then O'Casey was writing about the tenements, you know, but there wasn't anything really in this flavour, you know, and yet I recognised it so well, this darkness that we do have in Ireland, but it's the flip side of it is humour, you know. So things do go horribly wrong in the end, but, you know, people have different ways. You know, Toots, which is she's an amazing character as well, a really strong woman. We imagine that she's Mary Manning, really, you know, and she decides and, you know, she's going to go on and do something. So there were really amazing women around that time. And I think she was writing the issue that was there for women and for men who weren't the manly men. And she was trying to, within the play, give us several scenarios that we could play out to test the boundaries of what it meant to be a woman, test the boundaries of what it meant to be gay in Ireland in the 1930s and what it meant to be and have to be a colonial servant. You know, so there's so much going on. There is darkness,
yes, because
but a lot
Connie's
of humor.
Betrothed has got a job in the colonies that he's going back to.
Yeah.
This is not the Terence character. This is the sensible character.
This is Harry, the sensible one. And there's a few comments made of, oh, you're going back to the colonies, are you? Mm. and it's we kind of move over it. But yeah, there are references to him going to Kenya. And
what other kind of conversations are there among the young cast, Molly, about the issues that are in the play?
So,
I mean, are there other similarities that you see between then and now?
Definitely. I think, I mean, just what you were saying, Sarah Jane, the way Mary Manning offers this new, really urban female perspective, these really interesting ideas exploring sexuality and gender are totally sparking conversations that we're having, and they feel really familiar. As well as that thing we're talking about of the conversations they have where they're just talking and analysing themselves to destruction, which I think is actually a line in the play, constantly worrying about who we are, who we should be, what they're doing. And there's a lot of what they're talking about the play is, well, everyone else is happy. And then I think Desmond goes, is everyone else happy?
Yeah.
And then they move on. But I mean, that a lot of us have experienced that. Yeah. And where are we in life? Where should we be?
And what happened to her career, Sarah Jane?
She actually left Ireland, just almost like the people in her play who wanted to. A couple of years after she wrote this play, she went to America to study fine art, and she met a lawyer, a rich lawyer, and she married him. And then she set up a theatre in Boston called the Poets Theatre, which is really, really a successful big theatre. And she's highly regarded over in America. She continued to write plays. A lot of some of her scripts have been lost over time, but she continued to write plays. And then she came back to Ireland after a while, and she wrote for the Irish Times. She reviewed for the Irish Times, and she wrote more plays, you know, but they haven't, there has been really very little done, you know, for a long, long time. I mean, she went back to America then in
and
the end.
Did she and Beckett have a correspondence or?
Yes, they did in more ways than one. And her
tell us more. You can't say something like that. And
I think they were romantically involved at one stage. But she has two daughters who are poets.
While he lived in Ireland.
Yes. Yeah. So she has two daughters who are really, really highly regarded poets in America, I mean, and who are delighted that this is being done, you know. So they're going to come over for the opening, which is going to be fabulous. Yeah. So and I have met people who were really into her. Susan Howes is one of her daughters, a really well-known poet over in America. And as I say, she's so highly regarded. So, yeah.
So in the original production, Micheál MacLearmore played Desmond.
Yeah.
So is it wrong to presume that it might have been a camp interpretation of that
character? Well, he was. Everybody would have known exactly, you know, when Micheál was playing it, that the character was gay. And Hilton Edwards also played a part in he played the part of... Did he play Terence? I'm not quite sure, but I think he might have played Terence. So there were all sorts of really interesting little, you know, frissons in it. And yet it was never, ever in the reviews. They never mentioned anything. You know, so it's a lot of the play has all this coding going on, you know, so really interesting things. So we've been trying to uncover the coding.
And is this the first time it's been put on since the Gate production?
Yeah. Well, it was on about three times in the Gate at the time because it was so popular. And it also went on in London in, I think it was 1937. Yeah. So this will be the first time, you know, which is really exciting. And it's the first time a lot of these actors are going to be performing on the Abbey stage, which is also really exciting because the energy they have in the room is just pretty amazing. And we have an amazing creative team as well behind us.
Yes, I'm dying to see the costumes. I'm dying to see how you all turn out. Youth's the season. By the way, it's followed by a question mark, which presumes like that it may not be the season for the youth.
Exactly.
Molly Hanley and Sarah Jane Scaife, thank you so much for coming in to talk to us about Youth's the season, which opens at the Abbey Theatre on the 8th of April and previews from the 2nd of April and runs until the 3rd of March. Further details from abbeytheatre.ie. Thank you so much.